Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message. And now on to this week's sermon.
So we've been talking a lot about discerning God's voice, right? And here we are. This is the last Sunday in February. Can you believe it? I can, because it seems like February has lasted for like 473 days. It has been. I thought January seemed long, but my goodness, for this, it is one day longer. Great, great. 474 days, right? But here we are, and we've been talking about God's voice and hearing God's voice and discerning it and then doing what He asks us to do. So how are we doing with that? How are things going as we focus on that? We focused every sermon so far this year on discerning God's Word in one way or another, right? So are we getting it? Are we understanding any better? I hope so. I'd love to see some heads going up and down. Maybe a hallelujah or yes, we're doing it, or amen, praise hallelujah. Got to squish them all together. Right. We know we need to hear, we need to know God's heart, right? Before we hear His voice, we really need to know His heart for us and for who we are. And we've learned that, you know, we know that God's voice speaks to us personally, right? He speaks personally to us, and He speaks to us as a church and as a body, but He speaks to us personally. And we know that, you know, sometimes we just, the best thing to do is just be quiet. Be quiet and let God speak, and maybe do less of this in our brains sometimes or sometimes out loud, and just more of this, of hearing what God might be saying to us and responding to that. And for sure, we've learned that what the Holy Spirit isn't going to speak against God's Word, right? The Holy Spirit isn't going to tell us, well, it's okay to go and steal something from Walmart because we see in here is black and white, right? Thou shalt not steal. And so we know that the Holy Spirit isn't going to go against what the Bible tells us to do. There are no contradictions, right? So it's been fun for the last couple of months as we've talked about the discerning God's voice, and we're only just beginning. We're going to be talking about this all year long in one way or another in different ways, and I believe that the best is yet to come for us as individuals and for Joy Church. So today, we're going to continue. Like I said, we're going to talk about another important piece, another important way, another important part of how we can hear God's voice and how God speaks to us, right? And I know, I think I had to, you raise your hands last week if you were here, if you were a parent. Do we have any parents? Yeah. What about moms? How many moms do we have? All right, quite a few, right? So to all the moms, what is the most persistent thing you've ever experienced? The most persistent thing you've ever experienced. Take a minute to think about it. Is it mom, mom, mom? Hey, mommy, mommy, mommy. Hey, mommy. Is that it, maybe? Yeah. I think it's a universal thing, right? There's nothing more persistent than a five-year-old wanting to get mom's attention, right? Mom, mommy, mommy, mommy. Well, God certainly isn't annoying like that, but He is persistent. He continues to speak to us, right? He continues to speak to us. And like your kids, you know, God doesn't just come to us once and try to speak to us and get our attention and then say, oh, well, I guess she's busy and not going to hear, so I'll just go away. Your kids don't do that, right? And God doesn't either. God is persistent, right? Just like in the Bible. There's different examples of where God was persistently calling people. He persistently called this little boy Samuel. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel thought he heard God's voice, but I don't know. So he went back to bed. He thought he heard God's voice again. And no, I don't think. But finally he did. God persistently spoke to Samuel and he heard his voice. And then there were the two people after Jesus was resurrected, and they were on the road to Emmaus. And, you know, we got Easter coming up in just a few weeks, and we'll talk a little bit about this. These two people that were on the road to Emmaus didn't even recognize Jesus was walking right there beside them. But Jesus didn't say, well, fine, I'm just going to walk away then. No, Jesus was there persistently talking with them and showing them and teaching them and giving them all the things that they needed. And then we all know about Jonah and how God was persistently speaking to him, even if he was trying to go the opposite way, right? He didn't want to go to Nineveh because that wasn't his thing, but God persistently stayed with him, right? God kept speaking to all these folks in the Bible, and he keeps speaking to us. He keeps speaking to us until finally, hopefully, we'll recognize that it's him speaking and we get hear what he's saying, and then we do what he's asking us to do, right? So, you know, as we want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us about a situation that we're in, or whether we, you know, God, show me, God, do I need to move now or do I need to stay where I'm at? Or God, what about this relationship? What should I do here? Should I start the relationship? Should I try to make the relationship better or go deeper? Or God, what about this new job opportunity? I've got this thing that I've got a good job, but there's this opportunity over here. God, what do you want me to do? What's the best thing to do here? We're trying to figure out maybe how to deal with a child who's gone wayward. We've got all these things, these different decisions that we need to make. And whatever it is, you know, we can look and we can ask God and we can plead to God for his guidance and his direction. But then we can also look at what are the persistent and eternal internal stirrings or internal feelings that we have about these things. What's going on inside of us? And how is God working all these things together in my life? How is God working situations and circumstances and what he's speaking to me internally? Because when God speaks to you within, he most often confirms it first with things from without. When God speaks to us from within, he often confirms it with things from without. Our circumstances can come together. Have you noticed that there's a consistent message in your life at some point or another? That, you know, maybe that there's something going on and you get this consistent message from internally, from what you think God's voice is, but also maybe from friends or maybe from a sermon that you hear, that you just like happen to hear that God speaks to you through? When that happens, pay close attention. Pay close attention because God most likely will be speaking to you through that, through Scripture and through the Holy Spirit and through people and circumstances. God is at work in us. God's at work in those who know us and in the events of your life to point us in his direction. God is at work in all those things. All those things and even other things, they represent his persistent attempts. His persistent attempts to speak to us and to get our attention. Like, hey, look at this. You're seeing it all around you. It's my persistent voice. When discerning the voice of God, we can expect him to be persistent. We can expect God to persistently call us and lead us and direct us. Let's look this morning in the book of Revelation. Hopefully that doesn't scare you. We're going to look in Revelation. We're going to look at Revelation 3 and verse 20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." So we see this verse, and I know that I've often, probably most often, heard and even preached that, you know, this is an appeal to lost people to come, that Jesus just keeps knocking at our door and that he wants us to come and to know him as a Savior and Lord. And yes, I think it applies that way for sure. But as we look at the Scripture, as we look through the context of this verse, it's part of a letter that John was writing to a church in a place called Laodicea. And as part of this church, it was people who were already wanting to follow Jesus, already part of a local body, part of a local church. The church was a church, though, that God had called lukewarm, right? If you read up above, it talks about you being neither hot nor cold. And Jesus says, I wish you would be hot or cold. Otherwise, it just makes me want to barf. It's kind of what he says, right? It's the mic version. They were lukewarm, right? They weren't all in. They could be hot sometimes. They could be cold sometimes, but mostly just lukewarm. I mean, how do we like a bottle of water. Oh, yeah, how about some lukewarm? No, thanks. I'll take cold, please. Not lukewarm for me. As a church, these Laodiceans, they were comfortable. They were sitting there. They came when they chose to. They listened to the sermon. They probably sang a few songs, and then they left lukewarm. They had all that they needed. Their needs were met, and they probably had most of the things that they wanted, right? So they just became comfortable with what they had, just became comfortable with where they were. They were comfortable in their circumstances and in their relationships with the Lord. And it's really not surprising to hear, you know, that God calls them out here, calls them out for their half-hearted efforts, for their lukewarmness. They weren't growing to be better disciples. Maybe they were really religious even, but not being disciples and not growing and not being on fire. But the encouraging part, and maybe part that would even surprise us, is that we think about it. We think about this verse in that context, and behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus was still knocking. They were lukewarm. They weren't pursuing him. They weren't doing all the things that God had asked them to do. They weren't hearing all the things that God was speaking to them for. But he was still there, and he was still knocking persistently. Persistently. And that's a big deal. And in this scripture, in the Greek, it uses a verb tense that describes an action that is currently in progress, where the action has not been completed. It's not like I was there and I knocked. It's I am knocking. I'm continuing to knock and continuing to knock. It paints a picture of God continually knocking at the door. And he wants us to respond to him. He wants us to hear him, to tune in to what he says. We're the ones that he delights in, right? We talked about that from the book of Proverbs, where his daily he delights in us. He wants us to listen, to open the door and to let him in and to hear what he speaks to us. He pursues us like that today. Continually, he's pursuing us, even when we're running as fast as we can from him, maybe like Jonah was. He never tires out. His reckless love keeps pursuing us, right? We sing the song, and we love the song about God coming after us, and he does that. He doesn't give up. He shows that he's able to arrange events in our lives, even in circumstances in our lives, that make us realize that he is speaking to us. He is speaking to us. The point is that God can be counted on to keep coming after us. God is persistent. He's relentless. He won't throw his hands up in the air wondering why we just don't get it. And he won't hide his plans for us and say, oh, nope, it's too late for you. I knocked. You didn't answer, so I moved on. No, he says, I'm knocking. I'm knocking at your door. Consistently, he'll bombard our hearts with his message, right? Until we're convinced that, oh, this really must be God, right? Sometimes it takes a while, though. I don't know, maybe for people like me, it almost takes a lifetime, right? We continue to struggle with that. But we're all very capable of hearing his voice, right? We're all very capable of it. We just don't have our antennas up, right? We just aren't listening for his voice. We have the capability. We have the ability to absorb and to understand that God's speaking to us. But I think so many times we just don't put our antenna up. We don't get a good reception because of us, because of where we're at, because of the things that we're doing. So many times we get bombarded with messages and distractions from different things, from social media to politics to news media. And we let our antennas kind of get garbled up, and we stop receiving God's word. We stop listening for him. But the good thing is that God knows us. He created us, after all, right? From the very beginning, he knew us. Psalm 139, he knew us before we were born, when we were formed in our mother's womb. He knows us. So he must also know then that sometimes we don't have that good reception, right? That our antennas are down, or we're just not listening very well, and so he persists. He persists. And while we keep growing, he keeps speaking. And he keeps speaking. And he keeps speaking. He's relentless with it. And sometimes God speaks and we see it and we hear it and we know it, right? Sometimes it's just all around us in our circumstances and what we read and what we see. And we have our antennas open. We're looking and listening and doing our best to hear from God. Sometimes what others are saying to us, it just lines up, right, with what we feel God speaking to us internally. And somebody comes up and gives us like a little truth bomb about something that God's been working on, and it's like, oh, wait, I better listen to this one. This may not just be some wacko thing that somebody's saying, or this probably isn't just the fact that I had too much Chinese food last night. Maybe I need to listen to what God is saying, right? I mean, so many times we just like to blame things on serendipity or, oh, here's a saying that so many of us use, up, the stars just all lined up for me, right? But we serve a God who controls the circumstances. We serve a God who controls the stars, and he puts us in places where we see and we hear things that he knows will lead us toward him. He puts us in those places and puts people into our lives who can speak into us as we grow toward him. And we can see and hear and know that he is speaking to us. God speaks in our circumstances. He doesn't just speak through good circumstances either. Wouldn't it be nice, right? If it was just all good things and rainbows and ponies and all that. Don't we wish it was just all peachy and we heard God speaking through all the peachy times? That's just not the way it is, though. There's so many places in Scripture where God's people were maybe in places that they did not want to be. They were in places that they would never have gone even on their own, or maybe the places where they just slipped into by their own bad choices, their own sin, and God spoke anyway. Think about Moses, and you know, he was out tending sheep in the desert for like 40 years. Didn't really think about it. That's a long time, just you and the sheep, right? I don't think he was really just thrilled being out there, but God spoke to Moses even as he was tending his sheep. Think about Daniel in the lion's den, another place I wouldn't want to be. I don't think any of us would be, right? And God spoke. Back to Jonah, right? In the belly of a fish. How many want to be in the belly of a fish? Not me, but God spoke there, right? Mary and Martha, while they were grieving for their brother Lazarus, and Jesus spoke to them. It's not just in the good times where Jesus speaks to us. It's not just in the good times where God shows up and speaks to us. God speaks clearly and often loudly when our circumstances are far, far, far from ideal. We can listen and hear God even through our circumstances. Is that good news or what? Have you had a few bad circumstances in your life? Am I the only one? Going through a few tough times maybe? Troubled marriage or job you hate? Dealing with a bad decision or the consequences of sinful indulgences in the past. Knowing there's some outstanding medical test that we don't know the answers to yet and we're all on edge about what's going on. Those are circumstances that we sure don't like being in, but circumstances that God can speak to our hearts through. It's not just, oh, we're having a streak of bad luck. I guess I fell off of God's radar for a while. I'm going to have to wait till things turn good. Maybe I'll start hearing him again. No, wherever we are, God can speak through our circumstances. These are the times in our life even that we're very ripe to hear his voice, right? So many times it takes a place of desperation before we finally said, oh, maybe I should listen to God. You know, so many times we get to this point and we say, well, all I can do is pray. Well, my goodness, what if that was the first thing we did was pray? What if we asked God first and we started to listen to God first? It's not the only thing we can do. My goodness. So we don't want to waste these trying situations in life by wishing we were somewhere else or doing anything besides having, you know, to endure this mess right now. Anything but this, God. Just get me out of here and then I'll listen to you. By the way, that's how so many of us fall into even worse decisions, right? We're in the circumstances. Things aren't going our way. Things aren't going as we hoped they would. So, man, I think this drink will just help me take the circumstances away. Just, well, maybe not this first glass of wine, but maybe the second one. Or maybe the third one will just take these circumstances away. Or maybe I can just smoke it away. That's how we fall into even worse habits. Maybe I'll just eat more. Comfort food. Oh, yeah, that makes me feel better. Instead of putting our antennas up and listening to what God would have us say, we go and we find these other bad habits that help, we think help us avoid the thoughts of circumstances. And we can look for God's voice, though, in those circumstances. We can look for Him there instead and grow through them. God, here I am in this circumstance, God, it sucks. But God, show me what I can do. Show me my next right thing. Show me my next right step. My next step in your direction, God. Show me that. And I'll listen and I'll respond, God. There may be something that He's telling you now that matters right now in the middle of the mess that you're in today. A crowd this size, a room this full, there's going to be people who are having trial times and are in a mess and don't know what to do. And maybe, just maybe, God is speaking to your heart even right this second about what you should do. Or maybe He's using this mess to teach you lessons that will set you up for success throughout your life, or success in your future. And I want to say, though, that, you know, I don't believe God necessarily makes these things happen to us. I don't think God necessarily makes bad things happen to us just so He can teach us. But we live in a sinful, fallen world, and bad things happen. We make bad choices. We do things we shouldn't. And God uses those opportunities to show us and to teach us and to speak to us at a time where we certainly want to listen. God hasn't stopped being persistent just because He's speaking in a circumstance that we don't approve of. God not persistent because we're in a place that we don't like being. Matter of fact, that's when we hear His voice the best. Sometimes an urgent situation, just right out of the blue sometimes, something happens and bang, we're in a crisis, we're in a situation, and it puts us in a mindset, though, God, what are you trying to say? What should I do? Draw closer to Him than ever before. Sometimes that's, unfortunately, the place we have to get to before we'll hear His voice, before we listen to His voice, before we put the antennas up and be a receiver of what God's saying. Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. And so these situations, these circumstances that we don't like, and sometimes maybe we didn't even create, maybe sometimes we're a victim of them, but God is there. He's there and He speaks and He can work all those things for our good. Some of the things that you go through now and that you go through that are hard and trying, and God works with you, and you put the antennas up, and you listen to His voice, and you listen to what He has to say. And then all of a sudden, like 2 or 3 years later, you're in a friendship with somebody, or you know somebody, or you see someone at church, and they're in the exact same place you were. And you can come alongside and say, you know what? Me too. I went through that. And let me go alongside you now and help you as you go along on this route. God uses these circumstances to teach us, to let us grow, to help us grow. There's another point that I want to make about God and His persistence. You heard us, especially Kathy, on and on and on, harping about you need to be in the Word, right? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. She's not that bad. I'm just kidding. But you know, we tell you, you need to be in the Word. You need to be in the Word. And that's true. You do, right? We need to know Scripture. We need to meditate on it. We need to read things and think, wonder what that's saying. Let's see. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. I wonder what Jesus is trying to say to me today about that. Maybe I can meditate on that for today or maybe this week, maybe this month, and try to understand better what God's trying to say through that, right? To know God's Word. But running a close second to being in the Word is the absolute necessity of all of us being here at church together, a body of Christ working together, right? I didn't hear any amens from that. Maybe if you're part of another church and you're a guest with us today, or you're online and you're part of another church, be in there. Be where God calls you to be with His people regularly. That's a word that we need to hear and know better. And I don't mean regularly like, oh yeah, I'm regular. Every 2 months, there I am. I'm regular. No, weekly. Make it a part of our weekly cadence, a part of our weekly rhythms of, it's Sunday tomorrow. I get to get up and I get to go to church. And then I get to do the other things that I want to do. But being here together, Joy Church has a great, great community, right? We're known for that. Pittsfield knows us for that. If you aren't here, if you just willy-nilly come and once a month, once every 6 weeks, not only are you missing out on what's going on here, but we're all missing out on having you here with us. We all have gifts and we all bring things to church with us that edify and grow the body, right? We all need to be here. We want to know you, and you have plenty to offer this community, not necessarily physical things, but to offer us as part of our body to walk together, to be more like Jesus together. We all have so much to give. And God, we know God speaks through His church persistently. That's why we meet every week, right? Some of the best ways for us to hear God speaking through our circumstances happened quite naturally in the church, right? As part of the church. God uses His church to make us aware of His plans so many times. And our personal connection with Him, He reminds us of that so many times at church. Think about it. I mean, how many times have you been sitting in a celebration service or maybe just talking outside and having a cup of coffee with someone or a pastry, and maybe you hear of a need? Maybe from a need that one of our ministry partners have, and maybe we can give to Impact Sunday before that. Or maybe you hear of a need of somebody in our community here, somebody is part of our body here, and you hear of that because you're here in the building, in the place. Or maybe you're in worship, or maybe even sitting here right now and you see someone sitting across the aisle or a few rows up from you, and God's prompting you, go speak to that person. Go pray for that person. They need you. And what if you're not here? What if you're not here? Maybe someone's desperately needing just to hear some kind words of encouragement from you so that they'll know that God is speaking persistently to them. They know that God is trying to encourage them. God is trying to edify them and to grow them and to lift them up. God, He speaks to you and says, see that person? Go speak to them. Go talk to them. Go pray with that person. And I know that maybe if you're not used to praying for somebody, it feels awkward, it feels weird. Do it anyway. I don't have any words of help for you other than just do it. God works it out. obedience to what he's saying to us, obedience in his, in the discernment we get of, okay, God, you want me to go pray for this person? I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. It's funny how when you get there and you start the conversation and you have the prayer, Jesus just works it all out. He gives you the words. He gives you the words. How does that happen if you're not here? There's ongoing opportunities like these all the time where we hear his persistent voice through his church and all over the place in his church. He matches the needs of the body with the gifts he's given us as a body to build each other up. I'll say that again because I didn't hear any amens. He matches the needs of the body with the gifts that he's given us. Scripture says, how does the verse go? That we have everything we need. We have everything we need because of Christ Jesus, right? Everything is here that we need. If Joy Church needs it, here it is. If we don't need it, it may not be here. Maybe it's just a want, right? There's more. There's more to that. More to be watching for at church. And I love this part. Being a part of a church, you'll find yourself in good, healthy relationships with people. Small groups, life groups, a little plug for that. Good, healthy relationships with people who can call you out and also who can call out what you might not see in you. Maybe seeing someone who sees something in you that you don't see in yourself and calls it out and you say, you know what? I think you would be amazing at this, this, this. I think you would be an amazing greeter. Why don't you be a greeter? Or, you know what? You're a fantastic mom. I see the way that you interact with your kids. You're an amazing mom. Or you're an amazing dad. I see the way you do that with your kids. And you know what? I see that in you. It could be the very minute that parent is ready to just snap. You know, they come, right? At church, even. This is how Joshua in the Bible, right, in the book of Exodus, this is how he became a leader. He led his people, right? After Moses. Moses, you know, was the guy who appointed him to lead the Israelites into battle. Moses said, Joshua, you're the guy. Don't be afraid. Go for it. Lead the people of Israel into battle and take this promised land that God has promised to us. But if you read through the book of Exodus, there is no point prior to that where we have any indication at all that Joshua is a warrior or a battle guy. But Moses saw that in him and called it out of him and said, Joshua, you're the man. Go fight the battle. Right? Moses was a wise leader who listened to God's voice. And he was a mentor to Joshua, and he saw this untapped potential and called him to step up and lead. And I'm telling you what, some of us here, some of you have untapped potential that we need to call out of each other. That's what life group is so important. That's the place to do it. When we get to know people and we build relationships with people because we're here together, rubbing shoulders together, being a part of each other's life. And then we can suddenly see, hey, wait a minute. You would be amazing at this. Or maybe an opportunity opens up and we think, okay, who would be a good person? Oh, yeah. It's that guy that's in life group with me. I've seen him react in these ways. He would be perfect in this situation. And we can go and we can call him out and we say, hey, you're a leader. I see leaders in this room who don't even know it or don't even think about it for themselves. But yet God has put that in you already. And as we're here together, all of us, we can see it in one another. We can call it out of each other. Many, many people's stories of success have begun this way, right? Just like Joshua's did. So many successful leaders can point out to another person and say, you know what, that God used that person to speak into me and changed my life forever. changed my life forever. If you remember Kathy's story a few weeks ago, right, about that elder that was part of our church who kept persistently calling out her destiny as a pastor, right? Before she ever agreed to it, she didn't even want it. Even though he was coming to the end of his life, this elder, and he had cancer, he was not doing well, he wasn't going to live, but he kept persisting with her, even through someone else to, oh, please go tell Kathy that she needs to pursue this pastor thing. Well, let me ask you this. What if he didn't? What if he didn't? Kathy wasn't pushing to be a pastor. She didn't want it. She was trying to be a Jonah and head the other way, right? Good thing you're not in the belly of a fish. So what if he didn't? What if this elder didn't do that? How many people has Kathy impacted as a pastor? How many people has Kathy led closer to Jesus? What if he didn't? What if that elder never did that? But because this one man that was part of the church, that was part of our lives, who we let into our lives, he saw it in her and he called it out of her and persisted. Thank God. God is persistent when he speaks. And finally, having a church family gives us all someone to turn to for godly advice. I said last week, if you'll remember, that you know the Bible doesn't give us a clear black and white answer to every question that we're going to face, right? Should I take the job? Should I move? We talked about those questions earlier, and we're not going to look into, you know, the book of 1 Hezekiah and say, oh, wait, it says take the job. Just in case you weren't paying attention, there is no 1 Hezekiah. Just testing you. So there's a lot of things that just aren't there, things that we face every day. It doesn't mean that God hasn't thought of those things or he doesn't know those things, but they're not in Scripture. I don't think we could carry a book big enough that had every answer to every question, right? So it's important to have some trustworthy people, some people that know us and love us and that we know and that we love and we're in good, solid relationship with that we can go to and say, hey, can you give me a little bit of advice on this? And we have to remember, though, I mean, we're not perfect, right? We're not perfect. We might be able to give godly advice, but we aren't God. So we can't depend on each other to be infallible. We can't depend on each other that absolute truth. But a lot of times when we ask those things, they line up with the other things that we might be hearing, and they line up with the things we're feeling internally in our spirit. And we get this, what we call a confirmation that, yes, this is God's plan. This is the way I need to go. Because we have someone in our life that we can go to for godly advice. You're having a persistence moment. When God is being persistent with you, he's persistently talking with you. We're persistently hearing from him. And that's just how he works. That's just how he works. Worship team, if you want to come up. But remember, God is the one who's persistent. God is the one who's faithful. We talked a little bit earlier about how we sometimes don't have our antennas up. And, you know, God is not moving. And when we come here together, you know, Scripture tells us if two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. So we know that he's here. If we're not hearing from God and he's here, maybe our antennas need to be a little more in tune. Maybe we need to raise the antenna a little higher to hear him speak. We don't have to call on the Holy Spirit to please come to this place and please meet with us. He's here. God's promised it. I believe it. He's here. So we have to keep a tender heart. We have to listen. We have to desire to hear what he says and to do what he asks us to do. And then we can be sure that he'll keep speaking that to us. We're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to mishear. Sometimes somebody might come to us for advice, for some godly advice, and we just don't know. Or we say, I don't know, I think this may be the best thing for you, but we're going to make mistakes. And I've got to believe that as we move forward toward God, and as we do have this tender heart to hear him and to follow him and to do what he asks us to do, I think he's got enough grace to cover those mistakes that we're going to make along the way. I think we're going to be okay with that because our heart is to follow him and to grow to be more like him. I know. God's not out there just trying to find a little technicality of a problem that we create and, oh, see, there you go, squash. You're squashed like a bug. I'm done with you. That's not God's way. That's not God's heart, like we talked about a few weeks ago. So I believe even today that there's some of us that we know Jesus, we followed him, or at least maybe we did, and our antennas have kind of starting to shrink back into our heads, and we stopped listening to his voice. And today he's speaking very clearly to us. This is the day to start listening to me again. This is the day to come back and to be a part of that church and to show up every week and to make it part of your cadence. And that's where I'm going to speak to you. And that's the people that I put in your life to love you and to care for you and to speak with you and for you to share with them, because you have a lot to offer. So today I'm going to just ask all of us, and I'm going to pray for us that we would come closer to God, that we would keep our antennas up and open in our reception to hear his, what he has to say to us, to hear his voice and to discern his voice, and to put a lot of the noise that we hear, the social media, the news media, all behind us. And God, I'm going to pay attention to you. I'm going to commit myself to this body to hear you speak to me through your word, through the Holy Spirit, through those around me who know me and who love me. So this morning, I'm just going to ask that we all bow our heads and just pray this for yourself. Lord Jesus, I ask that you give us all a new heart to hear your voice, God, to hear your persistent call in our lives, to know that whatever it is you've called us to do, God, it is eternal. It's for a lifetime, that your call on us doesn't go away, God, that you persistently lead us in the direction that you would have us to be. God, give us ears to hear and hearts to do. God, not just hearts to do, but hearts to be. God, to be who you ask us to be present with each other, to be loving one another, to be caring for one another, to be serving one another. God, even as you speak to our hearts, Lord, and there's so many people in this room, and God, I know that you're speaking differently to each one, different ideas, different things, but God, I know that all those things lead us closer to you as individuals and as a church. God, speak to us and let us open our ears and our hearts and our minds to hear and be who you've asked us to be. God, we trust you with that. We trust you with that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I believe God is speaking to us, and I think it's up to us to hear what he says. That's something to take with you today, to hear what God says. Not just Sunday morning at church, but Monday afternoon when you've had a rough day. Friday morning when the week's almost done and you're getting excited about the weekend. He speaks persistently through all that. Let's listen and let's hear what God would say.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.